In this podcast, we're going to look at Theme B. Theme B concentrates on the idea of religion and life, and it focuses in on a number of topics. Topics such as the origin of the universe, the value of the world, stewardship, pollution, animals, the origin of human life, abortion, euthanasia, and life after death. Christianity believes that life began when God created the heavens and the earth, which he did on day one. Literalist Christians believe that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, but not just the world. He created everything outside of this world, the universe, the stars, and everything else that we know. Just recap on the creation story of in Christianity. In day one, God created the heavens and the earth and said, "Let there be light and dark." On day two, God made the sky. On day three, God formed the sea and the land, covering the land with seed-bearing plants and vegetation. On day four, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On day five, he made fish and other animals that live in the sea and birds in the sky. On day six, he created land animals and humans, and God made humans in his own image. And on day seven, God rested. Generally, Islam follows the same version as Christianity when it comes to creation. However, Muslims don't refer to them as days. They refer to them as six phases or distinct periods of time in which God carried out this creation. As we know, both Muslims and Christians believe that the first human was Adam. Some Christians, called non-literalist Christians, believe in the idea that God, whilst God created everything, science can explain it. So, for example, the Big Bang Theory is something that's discussed in both Islam and Christianity. Christians and Muslims believe that whilst God created the Big Bang Theory, science can explain it. Muslims believe that discoveries of science are already within the scope of the Quran, and it is for humans to explore and find out about these discoveries for themselves. The most important point for Muslims is the Quran is more concerned with why the universe came into being, whereas science is focused on how. The answer to why is given in the Quran as a result of being the creative action of God. Non-literalist Christians believe in the idea that the Bible can explain creation, but science also has got a part to play. For example, non-literalist Christians do not believe that the literal days that are in the Bible is exactly when the universe and everything in it was created, but it was over a much longer period of time. But literalist Christians firmly believe in the idea that what is in the book of Genesis in the Bible is exactly what happened. There are two quotes to help them with this. Obviously, the first opening line of the Bible where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But also the quote, "Nothing is impossible with God." Christians use this quote to help them understand that God can do whatever God chooses. And if it is that God created the earth in 6 days and everything in it and rested on the seventh, then it is perfectly acceptable. Muslims and Christians also believe it is a duty to look after God's creation. We call this stewardship. Stewardship is the idea that believers have a duty to look after the environment on behalf of God. In the Quran, there are a couple of lines to help us understand this. For example, "It is He who made you successors on the earth. And it is to God that everything in the heavens and the earth belong. God is fully aware of all things." These two quotes from the Quran help us understand that it is our duty to look after God's creation and be good stewards. We must care for everything and look after everything and respect everything in God's creation. The Bible also takes a very similar view, that the idea that we must act as stewards over the earth is very important to look after it. There are a couple of quotes from the Bible that help us understand this. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This does help Christians understand the idea of stewardship, but also the idea of dominion, that Christians have a duty to look after God's earth. A minority of Christians, though, interpret the fact that this means that they can do what they like with it and everything in it because they are in charge. But most Christians accept that that's not the case. Whilst God maybe has put us in charge of the earth, he expects us to look after it and care for it, and not destruct willfully. Such destruction would be considered a sin. A couple of other lines from the Bible that may help us understand this, such as, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? This suggests to us that the world has wow factor. A term that's often used is the term awe and wonder. Awe means a feeling of respect mixed with feelings of fear and wonder. Wonder, marvelling at the complexity and beauty of something. This tells us that we should absolutely care for God's creation and marvel at it, and treat it with a feeling of respect, but also admire its beauty. It's very important for Muslims and Christians to act as good stewards. This is a key part of being both a Muslim or a Christian. Caring for the environment also is very, very important, and there are many parts of the environment that Christians are generally responsible for, and Muslims. First one to consider is pollution. Now, pollution is considered something that we shouldn't do. As we know, harmful CO2 gases into the atmosphere can cause poor health. It's also bad for the environment. Going back to the quote, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, is a very important point for Christians to consider when caring for God's creation. Pollution goes against that. In the Quran it says, eat and drink as we have permitted, but do not be extravagant. God does not like extravagant people. This is suggesting to us that Muslims would consider any willful destruction of the earth as haram, and indeed very sinful. Both Christians and Muslims like to think of ideas in which the ways to help the environment. This can be done in many different ways. For example, you can do things such as recycling, litter collection, making sure that we respect the environment, trying to reduce CO2 gases, joining groups such as the IFEES, which is the Islamic Foundation for Ecology and Environmental Sciences, Greenpeace, which is a Christian organisation which aims to help people understand the dangers of fossil fuels and gases that hurt the atmosphere. It's very important for Christians and Muslims to ensure that they look after the resources that's been given to us. Whilst Christians believe in the idea of dominion, it must not be abused. So therefore, they should do all they can to reduce pollution and reduce the number of CO2 gases. Things such as deforestation and harmful and willful pollution are strictly considered sinful in both religions. There are other things that we need to consider that are part of the atmosphere that we live in and the environment around us. And a key part of that is animals. Now, in Christianity, it is considered okay to eat animals for food, as it is in Islam. But beyond that, we must consider the use and abuse of animals and what is acceptable and what is not. Let's deal with Christianity first. In the Bible, there are many quotes to help us understand this. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you, it says in Genesis. In Deuteronomy, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. This suggests to us that we must treat animals kindly. And in the book of Proverbs, the righteous care for the needs of their animals, which again tells us that we must look after animals. Now, sometimes the quote that can be used to say that we have dominion over animals and we can do whatever we want is another quote from Genesis where it said, God has blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, to some Christians, this could say that we have to, that they can do whatever they need to do in regards to animals, particularly around the line of animal experimentation. Does this mean that they can use and test animals? They can do blood sports? Well, to most Christians, no, because in the Bible it says all life is sacred, which means that we must not mistreat an animal, and to expose it to suffering would be considered wrong. Most Christians don't agree with animal experimentation, except for in the cases of hard-to-reach medicines, such as vaccines. Other than that, testing of cosmetics on animals is, in most Christianity, is considered forbidden. In terms of eating animals, it is accepted that Christians can eat meat. And in the book, in the Bible, it says, "The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them." This says to Christians that actually whatever you want to be, you can be. If you do not want to eat meat, that is absolutely fine. And therefore, if you don't want to, it's okay. For most Christians, though, they do eat meat, and as long as the animal is killed in a humane way, this is considered acceptable. There are also no restrictions on what animals that Christians can eat. For example, Christians eat pork, which, as you know, in Islam is strictly forbidden. In Islam, though, for example, there are certain much stronger rules, that some would say, around the use of animals. In the Quran, it says, "The seven heavens and the earth and everyone in them glorify him. There is not a single thing that does not celebrate his praise." This suggests that animals are considered very highly in Islam and that they are part of God's plan. There are a couple of other lines in the Quran that can help us understand the use of animals. "All the creatures that crawl on the earth and those that fly with their wings are communities like yours." Again, this shows us also how highly animals are thought of in the Quran. In the Hadith, it goes on to say, "Whoever kills a sparrow or anything bigger, that without a just cause, God will hold them to account on the day of judgment." This suggests if you just willfully kill an animal for no reason, such as if you kill it because you just want to, this is considered haram, and that God will hold them to account on the day of judgment. This could lead to a Muslim ending up in hell. Therefore, Muslims would want to avoid this. Now, Muslims are only allowed to eat meat that has been killed according to Sharia law. For food to be halal, it must have been farmed and slaughtered according to Muslim teaching. Therefore, this involves the killing the animal in the name of God. A sharp knife is used to cut the throat, windpipe, and blood vessels in the neck, and the blood is drained. As I said earlier, Islam also expressly forbids the eating of pork. Animal experimentation in Islam is considered acceptable as long as it is only used in research for very specific things. For example, it could be allowed to use to find a cure for something like Alzheimer's disease or certain types of cancer. However, in Islam it is considered haram to research vaccines or anything that is self-inflicted by a human. For example, some Muslims consider researching drugs for lung cancer as controversial because cigarette smoke damages our body. So, for example, forcing an animal to smoke cigarettes to find out the effects of smoking is not allowed. Testing cosmetics on animals in Islam is also strictly forbidden. Things such as blood sports are also considered haram in Islam. Therefore, we must consider that Islam has very strong rules around the use of animals. Both religions have got theories around how humans evolved from animals. As you know, Christians and Muslims both believe that the first humans were Adam and Eve. The theory of evolution, Darwin's theory of evolution, causes controversy in both religions. Because, of course, the idea that we came from God's creation, evolution would go against this. So, therefore, it is a controversial topic in both religions. Both religions believe in the idea that God created humans and we have spread from that. However, both religions, looking in the research of the modern world, both understand the theory of evolution and perhaps understand that out there, there are people that believe in it. However, both religions strictly keep to the idea that God created humans and we have come from that. And also animals. The topic of abortion in both religions is something also that carries for and against arguments. To summarise it in brief, abortion is when you terminate a human fetus. Now, in Christianity, some Christians may say that abortion is acceptable. If a mother has been raped or she is at risk of her own health being damaged as a result of giving birth, then abortion could be considered acceptable. As in the Bible, it says all life is sacred, and that same rule applies to the mother. However, some Christians are strictly against abortion because for several reasons. In Scripture, all life is sacred, therefore that the growing fetus has a right to life. Some also use the quote from the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not kill," as a quote to say, well, actually, killing an unborn fetus in the womb is strictly wrong. So Christianity has mixed views on abortion. Islam also has for and against views when it comes to abortion. Most Muslims believe that abortion should be allowed if the fetus will be born with either physical or mental disabilities or if conception was as a result of rape. Similar in which case to Christianity. However, some Muslims do believe that life begins at conception and therefore you are breaking what God has created. So therefore, similarly to Christianity, it has a for and against view on abortion. Some Muslims believe that life begins at the very beginning of conception. Some begins it believes at 40 days and some believe it begins up to at 120 days. In Islam, having an abortion after ensoulment is seen as taking a life and one of the greatest sins. As recording it in the Hadith, it is murdering an innocent soul. There are various different understandings in Islam about when the fetus receives its soul and life begins. Some Muslims believe it begins at 40 days. Some begin it believes at 120 days. Some even may begin it begins at conception itself. So Islam has, similarly to Christianity, has mixed views on abortion. One view it definitely takes, though, is that you must never have an abortion because you can't afford the child. In the Quran it says, "Do not kill your children for the fear of poverty. We shall provide for them and for you. Killing them is a great sin." Therefore, any abortion around the ideas around not being able to afford the child is strictly considered haram. With euthanasia, as far as Islam is concerned, it's a very easy topic to deal with. Euthanasia, which of course means killing someone painlessly with compassion to end their suffering, meaning that you help someone to die. There are two types of euthanasia. There is active euthanasia, which means ending a life by deliberate action, such as giving a patient a lethal injection. Or passive euthanasia, allowing a terminally ill or an incurably ill person to die by withdrawing or withholding medical treatment. Sometimes these are called voluntary and involuntary euthanasia. Muslims are very clear. Euthanasia is haram. This is because it is a direct sin against God. In the Quran it says, "It is he who gives life and death." And also, it says, "No soul may die except with God's permission at a predestined time." Meaning that if you commit euthanasia, you are showing you are knowing more than God. Therefore, this is considered a sin and not accepted at all in Islam. Christianity has a slightly different view on euthanasia. Christianity generally doesn't accept it, for the simple reason it takes away life. And in the Bible it says, "Thou shalt not kill." It also says, "All life is sacred." Therefore, for many Christians, euthanasia is considered a sin. However, in modern Christianity, some Christians say It is the lesser of two evils. Why should we allow people to suffer when actually it may be a painless and kindness thing to do to allow someone to die? In the Bible it says, blessed are the merciful, which could suggest that actually it is a blessing to allow someone to die a painless death. But however, most Christians believe that with proper care, such as hospices, that people should be allowed to die in dignity in a hospice. And therefore it is not acceptable to carry out euthanasia. It is a very long topic to talk about heaven and hell in Christianity and Islam, and this is covered in another podcast from Paper One. But I will briefly summarise the arguments. Both Christians and Muslims believe in heaven and hell, that if you've been a good person, performed good deeds, lived your life in a proper way, that there is a place in paradise for you. However, if you've led a life through sin, committed lots of sin, and generally not been a good person, you may well end up in hell. In Christianity, the belief is that the soul lives on, whether that be in heaven and hell, and they can undergo purification in order to achieve that. Catholics believe, for example, in something called purgatory, which is a place between heaven and hell and allows a Christian to repent their sin. From this, they can enter heaven or enter hell. For Muslims, the idea of the afterlife is a little bit more prescriptive in terms of it's very clear in the Quran exactly what happens. First, the first stage of it is what we call barzakha. This is the first state after death and is the place between this life on earth and the next life. Barzakha means barrier. People are unable to come back across the barrier and they can wait until they receive the Day of Judgment. Islam teaches that the soul does not die but continues, and there is a new physical existence after this life which ends in either heaven or hell. This is known as Akira. According to Islamic teaching, on the Day of Judgment, the angel Israfil will blow the trumpet announcing the last day, and the dead will be resurrected in new bodies. Each person will be brought in front of God, and the book of life, their life, will be recorded as recorded by two angels, will be opened. Their good and bad deeds will be weighed, and God will decide the fate of each individual. It will be up to God to decide whether that person enters heaven or enters hell. In both religions, heaven and hell are described in very descript ways. Heaven is described as a place where everybody wants to be. There is no suffering and all wishes will be fulfilled. It's described as a lovely place. Hell is described as the opposite, a place of horrible, heavy chains, boiling water, fire and scalding food. A place that is ruled over by Satan. So this covers all the topics when it comes to theme B.